Hello, fabulous people. Thank you for tuning in to the Get a Hand Up podcast, where you always get a hand up in your marketing, your strategy, business, all that good stuff. Today is a bit of a special day. Definitely going to be a special podcast. My understanding is that I am... First, allow me to introduce the heartless, narcissistic SOB who is going to be throwing, you know, that dunking thing at carnivals where somebody throws a softball and you get dunked? Well, I'm in that seat today, and the gentleman who is going to be throwing the balls to dunk me is...
Steven Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm a big Captain America fan. Hold on. My applause. Okay.
Wow. Okay, Captain. You never cease
to amaze
me. So
what I did, guys, was I just muted Camille, and what we're going to do is I'm going to hijack this podcast. And there's been a lot of questions that have been coming from Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, a lot of the hashtag questions. And she looks like she's about to throw something at me because I didn't warn her about me muting her. So I'm going to make this podcast where Camille's going to answer these questions. And, you know, these are questions that you guys posed to us and everything. And I want Camille to take a stab at these questions. And to make sure that she's not using the internet, I changed the internet password here in the office. And I also made sure that she can't log on to her laptop because I changed the password on her laptop. So... what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute her because I don't want her to throw that glass at me. And I'm going to allow Camille to give her a quick little tidbit before she throws something at me, and I'll remute her. So give me 1 second.
I'm going to try and keep my composure here. I did get some feedback from my previous podcast on infiltration marketing and the Alexa Dot example. Sorry if I trolled your device, your Echo device. Someone, actually quite a few people said, but that's not a good example because not everyone can get to that level. I just want to let everyone know that Amazon has actually enhanced their Alexa Skill Developer Kit, which means anyone from a bakery to a mechanic can now develop an Alexa skill, aka an app. I am restricted to how long I'm allowed to talk about this, so I'm going to have to take this into either another podcast or one of my new upcoming vidcasts, so please stay tuned.
And I muted her. The powers of being the engineer in the office. So, I'm kidding, you know, I wouldn't do that on purpose to Camille. So, one of the main questions that came over, and if you could see her turning red, she looks like a strawberry shortcake. But, you know, this is a hostile work environment, I'm telling you right now. But one of the questions that came up, and I'm going to unmute Camille again, is one of the major questions is SEO. And Tim from Facebook asked, these new pay for only result SEO companies, what are their guarantees? Is it legitimate? You know, what guarantees do they offer that you will rank high by paying for SEO and high-ranking SEO services? I'm putting air quotations. So I'm going to mute myself for right now, and I'm going to allow Camille to answer this question. What are your thoughts, Ms. MBA?
Well, Captain, the guaranteed pay for results, pardon me. Obviously, I'm not going to have my smooth Kathleen Turner voice since I'm being caught off guard here. But they've been getting a lot of attention lately, but they're actually not new. I can remember companies promising results since... By the way, this is... I guess you could say my 10-year anniversary doing SEO.
Since 2008, if I remember.
Right, so technically it's my 11th year, but it just sounds better for it to be my 10th year. So anyway, back when I started doing SEO in 2008, It actually was not uncommon for some of these new SEO companies to promise rankings. And they were able to get away with it because at the time, you know, very few people had heard of SEO, and maybe 1% of those very few had any idea that there was such a thing as Google rules and regulations, which there very much are. So they're not new. They've been getting a lot of attention lately, and I am, this has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a Google partner. This is just purely logic. I am against them. If you go to a bank, okay, and or let's say someone comes to you and they promise that you're going to get 20% back on your loan after a year. And you say, well, that's funny because the bank is only offering, you know, 1 point or 3%, 2%, you know, something far lower. You know, the only way that that person can cover the difference is by robbing the bank or doing something else that is obviously unethical. It's the same thing with SEO. Since the beginning, and I've also been wanting to do a podcast about this, you know, the one Google algorithm that has always mattered since the beginning, and this is not going to change, is integrity. Whether you want to call it content relevance, keyword stuffing, spammy backlinks, every single move that Google has made over the last decade has been all about giving quality results that are best for the user and that are legit. Why? Because Google, let's be honest, makes a lot of money from ad revenue, and they want people to continue using Google, because if people stop using Google, they don't get as much ad revenue. Same goal for any search engine. But we're talking about Google right now. And one of the things that Google has been very clear about since day one is that no individual, company, agency, group, tribe, you name it, is to promise search engine rankings. And it's funny because I still cannot believe how many times I've even driven down a highway and seen a billboard sign for a marketing company promising, you know, number one placement. No, you cannot, you know, I cannot promise you something that comes from another entity that will not give that guarantee. So right off the bat, that should be a red flag that you cannot trust it. The other thing is, and this is very, a very common misperception, rankings may not be what's best for your business. Traffic, leads, brand awareness, reputation. There are a whole bunch of things that really improve your bottom line. And, you know, would you rather have a ranking just because all you know is that you're pretty sure that rankings are what makes your business work? Or would you rather see your bottom line quadruple? You know, easy question. And another thing too, rankings are never a static metric. If anyone tells you otherwise, they're lying. Run. Rankings change all the time. They naturally, like waves, they just go up and down, and that's to be expected. And so that's one more reason that anyone who promises you a certain ranking, they're promising you something that the provider states clearly they cannot deliver. Now with over 200 variables in the ranking algorithm, there is no way someone can guarantee that without having black hat tactics in their pocket. Now, the reason that you really need to pay attention to that is because if you do get busted, either by Google or the Federal Trade Commission, and yes, the FTC has gotten very involved in this over the last several years, it is the company that ends up paying hefty fines and getting Google slapped, that is an official term, and can pay thousands upon thousands of dollars in penalties, and you may not show up again on Google for 6 months, a year, or even more. So no, I am totally against any guarantees when they have no foundation.
I was eating a sandwich. I had myself on mute. But, no.
Do I get dunked for that one?
Maybe. So, let me throw, like, a little wrench into the machine here. So, you know, like, how you answer this question for the pay only. What three, just very quickly, three things that you should look out for when a company says, hey, pay me and I could get you to the top of the chart. What three no-nos, very quick three no-nos that you would tell someone?
What do you mean?
Like three words or three phrases that a company's telling you that you know it's bad.
Three phrases in a sales pitch. That's easy. Anything that's guaranteed. Quite simple. And right then, you know, if they start rattling off terms like PBNs, which
buzzwords.
Oh no, we've got PBNs. We have exclusive access to this or that. Guess what? No one has exclusive access. you know, things like that. Any buzzwords or anything that any way that they somehow position themselves to have a special or exclusive influence over any other agency, individual, or company. Because that is just not how Google works. But unfortunately, it's a very effective sales tactic to offer something exclusive that no one else can give you. It's a very effective way to get someone to sign on the dotted line. So any type of buzzwords, any mention of exclusive abilities or special connections, and, you know, throw some curveballs. Ask them, well, you know, what about voice search? Can you get me on voice search? Because technically there are no quote-unquote rankings there. So, you know, if they suddenly get stuck on stupid or look like a deer in headlights when you mention voice search, that right there is a big red flag.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. So if I use the buzzword, I am a PB&J, because that's what I'm eating, would that count? I'm kidding. So,
oh boy.
Jamal asked through Facebook again,
mm-hmm.
How important...
Hi, Jamal.
You probably said hello. Wherever he is. Jamal was asking, how important is a budget for social media? And how would you divide your budget? Say, if you had $100 a month, this is just an example, how would you divide the $100 and where would you concentrate the $100 at? And how would you use the $100? Would you increase the $100? Would you decrease it? So I'm going to mute myself again so I can finish my sandwich, and I'm going to let you go ahead and answer this.
There are a few different ways that you can dice up the budget. You can either dice it up by platform, you can dice it up by audience, you can dice it up by audience on each platform, depending on what ratio you allocate to each platform. First of all, how important is it? It's very important. I'm going to be honest. That's one thing I always promise. If I'll be honest, no matter whether it's good or bad. Now, I think that, you know, I've said before that social media is the shortest distance between you and your target audience. That is true no matter what your budget is, even if your budget is a dollar. The difference is, it's like the difference between a small budget and a large budget is like the difference between driving an 82 Honda hatchback versus, say, a 2018 Ferrari. Between you and your destination, you and your target audience. So, let's say you have that better engine, that better car, or maybe you have more gas, or whatever, you know, it could be. The fact is, you're going to move faster. You're going to get faster data about your audience. You're going to get faster results from your ads if you do them right. If you do your targeting right, you know, if you do everything wrong, it doesn't matter how much you could spend. You have to make sure you're doing it right. So don't do things wrong and then blame social media. Oh, it doesn't work. No, people do that all the time and it's wrong. You have to do it right. But it does make a difference because if you have more resources, you have more exposure, you have more traffic, you going to have more sales or inquiries or signups or whatever your goal may be. I've listened to other marketers' podcasts and blogs and, you know, things about which platforms they think are best. One thing that I will agree with, and I can't remember whose podcast it was, maybe Larry Kim, maybe Neil Patel, I don't remember, but it was one of the greats, and, you know, or what I consider, who I consider the greats, and they had mentioned that Twitter is great for brand exposure, but Facebook is what drives traffic and sales. And at first, I actually didn't believe that, but then I started testing it out for myself. Remember, if you're not constantly testing, you are not a marketer. So I started testing this out for myself, and sure enough, I did find that Facebook is what drives traffic. Twitter gets a lot of hearts, retweets, messaging, but it's not a platform that drives traffic and sales. Instagram, however, does. Now, Instagram is owned by Facebook. So there's going to be some trickle-down brand equity from there. Now, one thing I will say about Facebook, and I don't even need the damn Wi-Fi connection, which someone cut, to remember this. But according to Statista, Facebook is still the widest age range, the widest range of education of its users, from graduate degrees down to not even high school, the deepest pockets of its users. So no doubt I would allocate the majority of my budget to Facebook. I would say at least 80%. I would probably dedicate 10%, now maybe 70% to Facebook, and 20% to Instagram. And the reason I say that is people on Facebook have a slightly, and I mean slightly, larger attention span. They're more likely to click, see your landing page, or whatever it is that you're offering. When people are on Instagram, it's literally, you know, if Facebook is a 4, 5, 6 second attention span, Instagram is more like a 2 or 3 second attention span, or even less. So you really have to have a catchy image, a simple, powerful post with it, and a link to get there quickly and easily. So I'd go about 70% Facebook, 20% Instagram, and then, you know, I wouldn't even divide the other two. I would say, depending on what type of organization you are, what it is you're trying to sell, then I would say put that remaining 10% to Twitter or LinkedIn. maybe. As far as how to break up that budget, I would say spend maybe 2/3 of your budget on cold leads, meaning people who don't even know you, just to create brand awareness. You could have the last can of Coke in the desert, and if no one knows you're there, no one's coming to buy. So spend 2/3 of your budget on any platform on brand awareness so that people know you. And then sort of like the golden triangle, what's left over, I would spend 2/3 of that on sort of the in the middle, the warm, the people who have seen who you are, know who you are, but maybe aren't ready to buy yet. And then what's left over, say if it's even $1 out of 10, I would spend that directly targeting people that you know have already been to your site, maybe abandoned your cart, have been to your Facebook page, you know, lookalike audiences, stuff like that.
Okay, fair enough. Let me throw a quick wrench at you on this. How would you, in 60 seconds or less, if a client said to you, "I love Twitter, all my fans are on Twitter," but when you look at the analytics and Twitter shows that less than 1% return is coming from Twitter and there are more coming from Instagram and Facebook, how would you talk to a client and say to such client, "Hey, Twitter sucks because you're not getting anything from Twitter"? How would you approach this?
Surprise. This is actually an easy one, and I have to give someone else credit for this. I will keep this person anonymous, but you know who she is. She was a former supervisor of mine before I became the supervisor of that particular company or division.
Okay.
And she taught me something great. You know, number one, try to talk to them about the truth and show the numbers. We all know people don't pay attention to numbers very much or the truth. So we move on to a deal. And the deal is, I will try it your way for 30 days or 60 days. But if it doesn't work your way, then we try it my way for at least the same amount of time and we compare results. You make a fair deal that somebody really can't refuse, you know, but you let them try it their way first.
Ooh, excuse me. Fair enough. I was finishing up my sandwich. One of the most common questions that was coming through, so I picked the third most common question, since you don't have internet access right now.
Bastard. Sorry, am I allowed to say that?
Yes, oh yes.
Okay, bastard.
Unless we got like 10-year-olds like slinging lemonade from a lemonade stand listening to your marketing advice, then we should be fine.
I have to change the password. I mean, seriously.
I'll give it to you after this question, trust me.
All right, just go.
So Bryce from Instagram, and she actually asked this question on all platforms.
Oh, Bryce is a woman, I'm sorry. Hi, Bryce. Lovely name.
She's so going to send you hate gifts.
Watch. No, that was so rude of me. Now, I'm sorry. Hi, Bryce.
See, there you go again. What do you think is the most common problem? She's asking, what do you think is the most common problem facing in 2018 for new entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs, but the word solo in front of it, and small
solopreneurs?
Yes, that's a word, right?
Thank you, Captain.
I fight evil, not dictionaries.
Okay.
And small businesses today, what do you think is the biggest problem in 2018 for like anyone doing business?
You know, that's actually a really good question, because the first answer that comes to mind, I think, is not what people would expect at all. You know, with today's digital marketing, Facebook's unbelievable targeting abilities, I think that the little guy, the underdog, the solopreneur, has more of a chance than ever to play on the same field as the big company. But I think what I've seen a real rise of over the last year or two are all of these cookie-cutter marketing programs. And each of them promised to teach you how to get more clients, how to get more sales, how to work less, earn more, have more free time. Whether it's marketing, whether it's email marketing, whether it's social media, whether it's influencer marketing, which you know I believe is totally burned out. It's all about infiltration marketing now. People are making money hand over fist selling these cookie cutter programs to business people. And the sad thing is that just the simple format of it being so cookie cutter and so laser focused is that they can never cover all of the needs of an entrepreneur. I mean, when I was in the entrepreneurship program, one of the first things that we learned is that you're going to wear every single hat in the company, whether it's the mailroom guy, the CEO, CFO, janitor, you wear every single hat. So how can you take, you know, one of these online programs that teaches you how to really rock email marketing, but maybe it teaches you absolutely nothing about reputation management, about reviews, about social media, about SEO, about PPC. And so I see the promises of fast overnight success getting entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and small business to buy into these so-called signature programs. And the fact is, one good consultant, one good Sherpa, one good guide could help you navigate the entire sea of digital marketing waters and, you know, could really guide you. That could really further your business. You know, a cookie cutter program on one tiny aspect in a vast sea of a very multifaceted organism is never gonna cover it.
So you're saying, like, and forgive me, I have to jump in on this because I've seen in the past 2 years, this is the same thing in the photographic industry, is someone offering a class, and you can see the air quotations.
Oh, yeah.
And rather than teaching you how to be a better chef, they're just teaching a class on what a spoon is, and that's it. And they expect you to take what a spoon is and develop a whole repertoire of what you are going to become a chef on on what little that they teach you, which is most of the time nothing.
And the thing is, you know, I'm an information junkie. I always like to reverse engineer things and figure out, you know, not just what is this person trying to sell me in this webinar, but how are they doing their webinar? How are they presenting it? One of the things that I've noticed, I can't help but notice because they come right out and say it, is that you don't have to be an expert. You only need to know a tiny little bit more than the people you're teaching. So what if you are an entrepreneur or a solopreneur? $3,000 is a lot of money to you. I'm just pulling that money or that number out of the thin air, right? But let's say whether it's a grand, whether it's 5 grand, let's say that $3,000 is a lot of money to you, and someone offers you a signature program on how to seriously rock your business email list growth. And you know now how to grow an email list, but you don't know what to do with it now. You don't know how to use social media to get people there. Your site may have the worst SEO in the world. Your business model itself may be seriously flawed. That $3,000 could have bought you some seriously valuable time with a good consultant that could have sat down with you and given you priceless guidance throughout the entire, if you think of marketing as a map, you know, they could have helped you understand a little bit about every single country instead of spending that chunk of money on one little aspect. And plus, you have to remember that in 2018, the last thing that anyone can ever assume is that any aspect of digital marketing can be taken in isolation. You know, SEO is content marketing. Content marketing is social media and vice versa. And all of these things are also email marketing and vice versa. You cannot divvy them up. It doesn't work that way. So these signature programs that are constantly being pitched to entrepreneurs, it's sad. I feel like it's sad because I feel like they're being taken advantage of. I know it's not just the marketing industry. I know that this is a trend among all industries, or at least a lot of, you know, any industry in which somebody can get online and either use pre-recorded video or audio or PDFs or whatever the case may be. And, you know, they call that scaling your business. And all I can say is do your homework. Make sure, you know, find out what value you're really going to get. And it's always, always, always worth it to spend the money for a good hour or two with a good, honest to goodness, you know, legit marketing consultant to say, hey, is this right? I mean, the same way you would go to a lawyer. You know, the same way you would go to a lawyer about anything that's important to you and get solid, sound advice that you know that you can count on. Why would you not do that with a marketer for your business, which is what sustains you, your life, your family, your income, all of it? You know? So I think that's the biggest problem.
Well, well said. Oh, by the way, the password to the Wi-Fi is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Please tell me you're kidding about that.
No, it's the same thing on my luggage. But one bonus question. And
bastard!
No, I got that from Spaceballs for some of you that may not know what movie it was. But one bonus question, this actually came from a close personal friend of mine in the West Coast. She asked a question, and I'm going to kind of give my two cents on this, but you, of course, you're the expert here, Camille, so I want to get your thoughts on this. 10 years ago, Google was king. If you wanted to rank anywhere, right?
Still is king, but go on.
Okay, so this is going to kind of tie into where we may have a quick little debate on this, and we're running short on time. Do you feel that Google is still king where Facebook still sits at home plate now?
Apples and oranges, honey.
Is it so apples and oranges? And how so is it apples and oranges for a startup company to get established? How would you go about a budget? Let's say $10,000 for 3 months. Where would you focus your budget and why and go?
$10,000, would I focus on Google or Facebook and why?
Yes.
Okay.
So here, let me give you some you know, more technical aspects.
Okay.
I'm a clothing company. I market towards teenagers and young adults from the ages of 14 to 22, male and female. We'll make this an American-based company. And I have a $10,000 budget each month. And my market is mixed, but I don't know where my market is. So what would I expect out of a marketer to do for me to help me better understand where I should be marketing?
Okay, so that type of client comes to me, just off the cuff answer, no, obviously no opportunity to think this through. Mm-hmm. Just off the cuff, I'm going to say that the first things that I do are keyword research and social listening. When I do keyword research, I don't just do historical volume. I also do current real-time searching. I'm not going to tell you how. That's one of my proprietary things. But I do real-time searching that Google has not yet had a chance to measure in terms of historical data. So I find out what people are searching for like crazy that maybe hasn't yet hit the grid. And I also am going to do social listening so I can find out how hot or how viral or how trending is this particular topic or things surrounding this product. Uh-huh. Okay, like the clothing.
Okay.
Is this, like, branded in any way, like a TV show?
It's custom branded for just the company's logo and their trademark. So this is not following any type of third-party trademarks like Marvel, DC, Disney, or, you know, Hasbro, or anything like that. This is this own company's personal branding and trademark.
All right. Then I would say that I would go for a 50-50 split to start testing.
So remember, 50 on Google, 50 on social media.
To start.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is when people do search, okay, and by the way, by 2020, half of all searches are going to be verbal. So prepare for that. But first of all, if it's something that people are searching for already, the keyword research is going to tell me what they're searching for, and I can allocate that to Google. When it comes to Facebook, the beautiful thing about Facebook is that you can target a buyer persona. Now you can target hashtags where, you know, people can follow hashtags. Therefore, you can target hashtags in a way that people never could before. And that's a beautiful thing. So even if people aren't searching for it, I mean, if you, really easy example, if your pipe breaks, you're going to search, I need a plumber. So that's sort of a no-brainer. You're going to go to Google. You may also go to Facebook because, you know, people, they have that ask for recommendations feature. But if it comes to a lifestyle product like t-shirts, branding, you know, the beauty of Facebook is that you can target people before they've even thought about searching for it. You can target people, you know, that expression, oh, I didn't even know I needed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you can do on Facebook. So you can target people who are small business owners if it's logo branded t-shirts and merch like that. I'm sure there's a market to search, you know, people searching for that on Google. I'm sure it's very competitive. But with Facebook, people who haven't even thought about that or people who haven't considered doing that for their company or their business, you can put out content on Facebook and you can very specifically target the types of people who would want it. And you can plant that suggestion and get them at least interested. Start generating interest.
Okay. Fair enough. So one final question, getting back to my surprise question. Do you feel Google has lost any footing in the past decade since social media has taken off with Facebook?
No.
So you still feel Google is still king around the world when it comes to generalized marketing?
No, neither. I think that Facebook has grown. It continues to grow. A lot of the recent stats say that Facebook growth has slowed, but Instagram growth has grown. Technically, if Facebook owns Instagram, I consider that a wash if you do your marketing right.
Mm-hmm.
Google is still the biggest kid on the search engine block. So I wouldn't say that either has gotten a bigger piece of the pie. I would say that as we are in an increasingly more and more and more digital world, the pie has gotten bigger.
Okay. And then just a simple one word. In 5 years, who do you think will still be king? Facebook or Google?
Hmm.
One choice. You could always change it later, and you could always talk about it later.
Google.
Okay. Guys, we're running very short on time. I want to thank you personally for allowing me to take over the booth today and kind of hijack the podcast in a way to shoot off some Q&A with Camille. Camille, thank you for being such a sport. Thank you for not trying to guess my password for the Wi-Fi. Always, guys, use the hashtag AskCamille on all social media platforms. She does listen to them because I bring them to her attention all the time, except for these surprise questions. And
or direct message. Yeah, or DMs or anything like that.
Email also. Go on the site. Send a message to Camille. She always checks her messages. And with that, I thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast, Camille.
Did I stay dry at least? Bastard.
No.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you have a great week. Definitely tune in for the next one. We've got some really important stuff coming up. So, thank you.